The following is a Hoop Bowl presentation.
What up, Grizz Nation? This is the Hoop Ball Grizz Podcast. Isaac Simpson with you, and you can find me on Twitter at Isaac underscore Rivals. That's I-S-A-A-C underscore Rivals, man. Make sure you go over to at Hoop Ball Grizz and give us a follow. We definitely appreciate that. We're continuing our draft coverage tonight with a very special guest. Man, it's been a while since I've caught up with my guy, man. Going back to Man Cave Sports Show days, my radio show back on AM 730, man, back in the day. He left us, man, moved out to sunny Long Beach, California, but we won't hold it against him, man. He's still here in spirit. From NBA Draft Blog, man, it's my man Chip Williams Jr. Chip, how you doing?
Isaac, I am doing great, man. I definitely appreciate you having me on. And, yeah, man, Southern California is not too bad. Look, I miss Memphis every day, but, you know, if you had to pick a second place, like, L.A. is not too bad, so.
Yeah, man, I wouldn't think so. Man, this is going to be completely off topic before we jump into some draft stuff. I remember it was a long time ago. It could have been when you first moved out there. I remember you saying that they have a Gus's in L.A. now. I kind of looked that up and saw that. Gus's Fried Chicken has, of course, become a Memphis institution. It was actually started up in Mason, Tennessee. And I remember you kind of talking about that and you was going to try that out there. Man, how is the Gus's in L.A.? Is it the same as in Memphis? How's the taste?
I'll be honest, it's like 95% as good. It is fantastic. I actually had it September 1st, 9/01 day. I was thinking, like, man, what could I eat that makes me think of Memphis?
And Memphis, yeah.
There was Augustus, yeah. So, no, it's really good. I was shocked at how good the quality is. It's pretty similar to the one in Memphis.
Yeah, man, they're branching out. I think they got one in Chicago now. They got some kind of all over now. So they're branching out even Memphis. So it's good, man, that you got a piece of Memphis out there making enjoy some Gus's Fried Chicken, man. That's good stuff.
It's great to see local people moving up. So good for Gus's, man. They're doing big things. So yeah, it was awesome to have one out here.
For sure, man. Talking about guy Chip Williams Jr. from NBADraft.blog. We jump into the draft, man, and every year you always hear people say, oh, this is a good draft, or this is a terrible draft, it's a bad draft, next year's draft is going to be really good. And I kind of push back on that. I always tell people, man, there's always going to be guys in every draft. Now, obviously, there is more star power at the top of some drafts. But when you look at this year's draft, how do you kind of characterize the star power at the top of this draft and just kind of the depth overall?
Yeah, I think that's always tough. I'm kind of with you. I hate when people say, like, oh, this is a weak draft. Oh, this is a strong draft. Oh, this deep draft, top-heavy draft. It's always hard to tell, right? Because you're going to have two or three guys that go in the second round in this draft that are going to have really long, productive NBA careers. You're going to have a guy or two that goes in the lottery that's going to end up, you know, not being in the league and probably not getting much of a second contract. Like, it just happens. This thing is not an exact science. It's much more of a, I don't know, it's a theory type thing, right? Like, you're trying to draft guys that you want, that hit certain benchmarks, right? Athletic benchmarks, game speed benchmarks, just different stuff that you look for to you know, separate prospects. But for me, there's three guys at the top: Cade Cunningham, Evan Mobley, Jalen Green, probably in that order, that I think could all three be franchise changers. I think if you ended up with one of the first three picks in this draft, you've got a franchise cornerstone moving forward. And that's no disrespect to any of the other guys, like Jalen Suggs or Jonathan Kuminga or any of these guys that are Scotty Barnes that are projected up there with them. But I think those three can really be number one players on a NBA title contending team. But I do think that there's some really good depth. Like, the Grizzlies having the 17th pick, looking at it from their perspective, you just start going through, you look at the various mock drafts where guys are projecting people to go. There are going to be good prospects available when the Grizzlies come up to select at 17. And I think that honestly continues on through the 20s. And there are even five or six guys in the second round that I think have a really good chance of sticking in the league and contributing. I think it's a really good draft with three pretty elite prospects at the top.
Yeah, and I hate to go into the cliche myself, but I definitely think this draft has some depth. I mean, there's several guys that are projected late first into the second round that I really like. I think there's some intriguing prospects, some upside guys. You talk about guys versus a guy like EJ Onu from small school guy who's kind of jumped in some mock drafts here of late, a guy that I think is really interesting. Not the greatest of competition, but I mean, you just look at him on film, man, to see some stuff jumps out on you. He's going to be a guy. It's going to take some time. I mean, he's going to be a guy that you got to probably stash in the G League and see if he can develop, man. But he has some tools, man, that could be really exciting. But you talk about those three guys at the top of the draft. Consensus number one pick, of course, is no doubt the one-and-done sensation out of Oklahoma State, Cade Cunningham. And, man, I'm such a big fan of his. I think he's generational talent, man. It's the way he can handle the basketball and play on a ball at 6'7", 220 is just not something you see every day. You see some Pistons writers and fans questioning how he fits with Killian Hayes, and I think those people are crazy, man. I think if you have the opportunity to draft a guy like Cade Cunningham, you do it and you're happy about it, man. What are your thoughts on Cade and his prospects going into the NBA?
Yeah, I think, first of all, if you are starting to draft for your need, especially at the top, that's when you're going to start really messing the draft up. You're just going to have to be – you're going to have to find a conviction, someone that you really like in the draft, and just draft them. Don't worry about what the fit's going to look like, right? Because by the time this guy pops in 3 or 4 years when he's really ready to contribute at a high level, your roster is going to look nothing like it did on draft day, right? Like, look, think about the Grizzlies roster 3 or 4 years ago. It doesn't look anything like it does right now. But for Cade specifically – no, I mean, look, this league has been dominated by guys that look like him, right? These 6'6 to 6'10 apex predator wings. You have one of those guys, you have a chance to win an NBA title. The way that – I mean, he's really a point guard. He's a primary creator.
Yeah.
You can run your entire team through Cade Cunningham, right? I know that some people question the athleticism. Some people question the assist-to-turnover ratio. Just look, this guy's been the best guy in his class for a very long time, all the way through his high school AAU days. He did nothing at Oklahoma State except look like the guy that should be the number one pick, especially the one that I would listen to an argument for is Evan Mobley. But I just think even if you want to say those are the same prospects, both those guys are great. Just positional value, you want to go with Cade Cunningham. Finding guys with his skill set at his size that move like that, they just don't come along very often. He's a special prospect.
Yeah, I definitely think so. And the thing about him, I think, is he can play with anybody. I mean, you talk about whether you can play with Killian Hayes. The fact he's 6'7", 220 pounds. I mean, you can put him on the ball. He can play off the ball. I mean, you could play him anywhere. So I think it's crazy that people are worried about fit there when you got a guy of his talents. I don't think you have to worry about that at all. And as bad as the Pistons have been for a long time now, man, they just need good players there. And they definitely got an opportunity to draft one there at the top of the draft in Cade Cunningham. And I kind of think I know where you're going to go from this from your comments. But after Cade, it's kind of where things get a bit interesting. I think most mock drafts have the Rockets taking Evan Mobley, 7-foot center out of USC. And I do think that's the direction they go. But if they don't, let's just say they go Jalen Green, that would make things – especially interesting for the Cavs at 3, who have a nice young center in Jared Allen there. If you're the Rockets, do you go Mobley or do you take Jalen Green and could pair alongside John Wall?
Yeah, man. It's an interesting spot to be in. If you're asking me personally, I would go Evan Mobley. I think the guy is basically the perfect big man prospect. He's going to end up being one of the best, if not the best, interior defenders and rim protectors in basketball. And I think that's going to happen very quickly. And then the way this guy moves, man, I mean, it's pretty unbelievable. Like, I remember when Jaren was coming out in the draft, I was like, man, it's maybe been since Anthony Davis that we've seen a big that can move as well as Jaren did. And I think Mobley even moves better than Jaren does. Like, the control that he has, the coordination, the fluidity, the level of skill that he has, the basketball IQ on both ends. I mean, if you were going to build a modern day, what you are looking for in a 7-footer, it is Evan Mobley, man. The guy is phenomenal. And that is not to take anything away from Jalen Green. To me, coming into this year, I needed Jalen Green to kind of prove it to me a little bit. Like, these guys come around, right? These 6'6 guards who are kind of high volume guys that can score the ball. And that's great. That's great. You know, if one pops, then you've got a guy that you can build around. And I think Jalen Green showed everybody in the G League this year. He was one of the best players in that league as a teenager. That is just not easy to do. And I think he showed everything that he needed to show. The guy's going to be a future superstar. And so if that's the direction the Rockets went, like, I wouldn't blame them, you know, with John Wall, Kevin Porter, like, that would be a really fun backcourt that you'd have going there. And I don't know. I don't know which direction that they're leaning. I would assume Mobley, but it's fun. Like, I know some people say the draft starts at five after you get those, you know, perennial or the guy that the four that everyone thinks are going to go top four, but the draft could really start at two. I mean, because I don't think anyone knows definitely for sure where the Rockets are going.
Yeah, and when you look at the G League, I tell people like that, people don't understand. That's a step up from college. I mean, you have guys that are playing in the NBA. You have guys that play overseas. These are grown men that they're playing against. So when you have a guy that did what Jalen Green did this year with Ignite, I mean, that really means something. I mean, that shows you, because it's definitely a step up from the college level, because, again, you're going up against grown men and guys that are hungry, guys that may have had a cup of tea in the NBA, been to Europe trying to get back. So you put up numbers there. I think that's really impressive, especially for to be 18, 19 years old. But you switch it over to the Grizz. Well, first off, I want to go back to Evan Mobley. I definitely agree with all your thoughts there. I mean, the guy, you usually get one or the other. You usually don't get a guy with his fluidity, the guy who can move at 7 foot, but also brings what he brings on the defensive end. You just usually don't get both with guys. It's usually one or the other, and he's kind of that complete package. Now, his offensive game is still evolving, but I agree with you, man. I mean, it's some the skills that he has at 7 foot, you just don't see. So I think Houston goes Mobley. If I'm them, I'll go Evan Mobley, but I can definitely understand going Jalen Green, because I think both of those guys are going to be all-star players in the NBA. I don't think there's much doubt about that. But moving on to the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies are in an interesting position, which really makes this draft intriguing for them. They don't really have minutes or roster spots for a rookie as we stand today. Kind of look at the roster. Not a lot of minutes and not a lot of rotation spots for players, but I kind of expect them to do some sort of consolidation between now. I mean, they're kind of loaded on the wing. You kind of got a lot of guys that kind of do the same thing. You need some more size and some more versatility there. So I think they do some consolidation there at some point. So they're kind of in a position where they could draft someone who can help immediately, like we've seen them do. You're taking older guys with Desmond Bane and Xavier Tillman and even Brandon Clark a couple years ago. Or they could go potential and take a flyer on a guy, maybe like a Zaire Williams, who has a lot of fans among Grizz Nation. He's kind of a raw prospect, swing for the fences, a guy that you kind of take and stash down in South Haven for a couple years and see what you have. Because, I mean, they have that time to wait, because, again, they don't really have roster spots. What kind of what direction do you think they will go in, and what direction do you think they should go?
Oh, man, it's tough. The easy answer is just to say I want Zach Kleiman to draft who he wants, right? Like, that guy just seems to get it right every single time. It's a cool spot to be in if you're looking at it from the Grizz perspective. I don't think we've ever felt as good in going into draft night with a front office running it as we have, you know, the last couple seasons. And the proof is certainly on the floor the last couple of years. But, you know, if it were me, I think it's going to be, again, this is a little bit of a cop-out answer, but a little bit just how the board falls, right? There are some interesting guys that could be big-time upside swings, like a Kai Jones, Usman Garuba. So one of the bigger guys that you could end up seeing as a long-term partner with Jaren Jackson down low. Then there's kind of like a Chris Duarte from Oregon, someone that is a little bit older, should be able to step in, provide some size on the wing, and have an immediate impact there. You know, it's interesting. Like, there's one guy, and I think we'll probably talk about him a little later, Cam Thomas. Like, I would consider that an upside swing. Cam Thomas is not my type of prospect that I would typically fall in love with. But I think the dude's a special scorer, and I see a pretty easy role for him at the next level. So if you're asking me, I think that the front office has shown that they value ability to contribute pretty early, high basketball IQs, being able to be a two-way player. And so I think that if I had to guess, they would probably continue that way because they've had so much success. But if they look at it and say, hey, this is a time to take a big swing, I wouldn't be the least bit surprised either.
And so the Grizz are sitting at 17. We know Kleiman hasn't shied away from making moves during the draft. And I'm not talking like big, like going up to the top five or seven or anything like that. But when you look at the second half of the lottery, who would be two guys that Chip Williams would look at as trade-off candidates for the Grizz?
Number one, I believe you're also a fan of this guy, would be Josh Giddey.
For sure.
If he starts to slip, maybe like pick eight, and he doesn't get picked, I would start calling. I would just see 9, 10, 11. Like, what's it going to take for us to get up there and be in position to draft this guy? I'm a huge fan. Like, these 6'8" jumbo creators don't come along that often.
No.
And when they do, you got to go get one, because they're unicorns. I mean, they're special and they're unique, and that's exactly what Giddey is. Number two for me would be Moses Moody. I think he's probably the best fit with the Grizzlies. And it's interesting for me because I think Moses Moody, at least like during the season, everyone pretty much thought he was going to go top 10. Now, it was probably the back half of the top 10. But you can find mocks now where the Grizzlies pass on him and he falls into the late teens or 20s, which is crazy to me. That would shock me. I mean, that would really, really shock me if that actually happened on draft night. But those would be my two guys. If one of them starts to fall into the late lottery, I would start making calls.
Yeah, it's funny because those are exactly my two guys. So we're on the same wavelength there. As far as Moody, I think what's kind of scaring some teams away, I think, is he didn't shoot the basketball well in the SEC tournament or the NCAA tournament. And I think that kind of shot some people away. And I think that's kind of why you might see the number slipping. I still think he probably ends up going in the bottom half of the lottery. I'd be surprised if he's there at 17. But if he is, man, that's definitely, I mean, I think prototypical what the Grizz will look for, the size that he brings, a little bit bigger. They need to get bigger on the wing, and a guy who can shoot the basketball. I mean, that's definitely what they need. I think you have guys like Bane and Allen. I think they just need to get better, bigger. And, I mean, he has a tremendous wingspan. I mean, he's just a great prospect for the Grizz. I would love for them to get their hands on Moody. And as far as Giddey, like you talk about, man, a guy at 6'8", that has the court vision, the basketball IQ. I mean, you just see some of the passes that he makes. I mean, and I think he's a guy that a lot of people, I've talked about Giddey a lot, and a lot of Grizz fans are like, he doesn't fit because he plays on the ball and you have job. But I think he's kind of a guy that you can plug him in anywhere. I think he can fit on any team because I think he can project as a secondary ball handler. You can put him on the ball. He can play with job. I mean, I just think he can do a lot of different things for you, kind of be kind of a jack of all trades off the bench. So I think he fits on any team. So I'm not worried about the fit at all, but those are definitely two guys that if they could move up and not have to give up two heck of a lot, I think those are two guys I would definitely be willing to move up for. But in talking about guys who would likely be there at 17, my top five for the Grizzlies would be, number one, Chris Duarte. You talked about him a second ago, a little bit older, 24 years old. I think if he was 18, 19 years old, I think you'd be talking about a guy going in the middle of the lottery. I think that's kind of what's holding them back. The first round, and a lot of GMs look at upside, and once you've been 24 years old, there's not a lot of perceived upside left. But what he does right now is fantastic. I mean, he barely has any weaknesses in his game. I mean, you usually get a guy who's looked at as a scorer, but they're usually not good defender. That's not the situation with him. I mean, he can defend. I mean, he can score from all three levels, bring size at 6'6". I mean, he's a fantastic prospect, and I think has probably – one of the safest floors in the draft. I think it's almost 0% that he comes in and is a bust. I think at worst, he's a rotation player. So I don't think there's any question there. And that's kind of why I like him. Trey Burford III is another guy who's getting some buzz at the combine, a guy who I really like at 6'9". The numbers don't jump out at you because he played at Virginia. And that system is more based on the team versus individual play. So a lot of times these guys from Virginia, you kind of have to evaluate them differently. They're not usually not going to have these big numbers. I think if he had went to another school, you'd probably see bigger numbers, and he might be going higher. Does have some holes in his game, but at 6'9", can really shoot the basketball, 44% from three. I think was in the 90th percentile on pull-up jumpers. I mean, he's more athletic than you think. You see some of the dunks that he was doing at the combine. Kind of has this knock of not being athletic, but you see some of those dunks. I mean, I think that's a little bit overblown. I think the guy is athletic, and I think, again, him playing at Virginia, I think there's another gear that he can go to, maybe something that you haven't seen because of that offense. Ayu Dosunmu is a guy out of Illinois, guard, who I really like, combo guard. Josh Christopher out of Arizona State, and Cam Thomas would be my fifth guy at LSU who can really score. Those are kind of my top five guys who could really be there at 17 realistically. Who are five guys that you like for the Grizzlies that could realistically be there?
Okay, so number one for me, we touched on him, is Moses Moody, and I put him at number one just because you will find quite a few mocks that have him there at 17. And if he's there, I just I don't think there's much thought. You just draft him, right? He makes way too much sense. Two for me, this guy would probably have to fall a little bit, would be Franz Wagner. I think I'm a huge fan. Like, I think the guy just, he knows how to play basketball, and not just on the offensive end. He's a tremendous team defender. This is a guy that I could really see the front office being very high on. He fits the IQ. He's got a projectable jump shot. Did not shoot it great from three, but 32%, not the end of the world, was an over 80% foul shooter. Really good team defender, found himself in passing lanes all the time on a really good Michigan team, probably was their best player, especially after Isaiah Livers went down. Number three is Corey Kispert. I just, the jump shot, man. Like, I just can envision that guy with Desmond Bane out there watching Ja do his pick and roll stuff. And you cannot help off of him. Same thing with Desmond Bane. You cannot help off of that guy because they're going to make you pay from three. It would just continue to add floor spacing for the Grizzlies. Four is Chris Duarte for me as well. I watched, I think, three Oregon games over the weekend. The guy is just unreal, man. I mean, it sucks that he's 24 because if he was 3 years younger, he's a lottery pick without
no
question.
Doubt.
But the problem is he's not. He's 24, and I actually just tweeted he's a year older than DeAnthony Melton. DeAnthony's about to go into his fourth NBA season.
Fourth year, yeah.
Yeah, but he's 6'6", which I think you said it earlier. Getting size on the wing is huge. The Grizzlies have, like, a DeAnthony Melton, a Grayson Allen. They have some of these, even Desmond Bane. They need the 6'6-plus wings now. And I think that, you know, that's kind of a theme here with my first four available that I would like for them to take at 17. And then five, I cheated a little bit. I said a big, and I've got three names listed down: Kai Jones, Isaiah Jackson, Usman Garuba. It's not the direction that I think they will go, but if they draft one of those three, I think you would pretty much immediately see Jonas Valanciunas moved, and that would be a move towards the future, right? The future pairing of either a backup to a Xavier Tillman starting with Jaren, or they think that guy can start next to Jaren long term.
Yeah, I hadn't done a lot of work on Garuba until the last couple weeks or so, because I, like you said, I don't think that's the direction they go. But after watching him, I mean, he's a tremendous defender. I mean, I think day one, he'll be able to defend in the NBA. So I'm a little bit more intrigued after watching him, but I've been watching a lot of film on him lately. And you see a lot of mocks that have him mocked to the grid. So we'll see what happens. Again, I don't think that's the direction they'll go, but I mean, he is a guy that I think, no doubt, his defense will translate. The offensive game is kind of where you have questions, but I mean, day one, I think he'd fit in and be able to defend. But when you look at this draft, if you had to pick one guy that's not getting a lot of pub, that you really like, a sleeper, so to speak, who would that guy be?
So I went with Cam Thomas. I think that Cam Thomas has a chance to be a pretty special player on the offensive end in the NBA. The way that this guy draws fouls is like a 10-year NBA vet. He has got like truly unlimited shooting range. He's an over 90% foul shooter. I mean, he is a special, special shooting prospect. He can shoot off the dribble. He can catch and shoot. He can create his own shot. I said it earlier, this is not typically the guy that I would fall for. I'm usually pretty wary of the Gunners and how much they actually impact winning in the NBA. But I think you've seen it this playoffs that when everything slows down and your offense is not going the way you want it to go, to have a guy like a Cam Thomas who can go create his own shot is so valuable. I mean, look at what Jordan Clarkson just did for the Utah Jazz, right? And if you are getting that guy in the late teens or the 20s, and he ends up being anything close to a Clarkson type player, or even like Reggie Jackson, what he did for the Clippers early on in the playoffs, like, That is valuable. And I don't know that the Grizzlies have something like that right now. I know it's probably a sleeper overall for the draft, but I think it could also apply. Like, if the Grizzlies pulled the trigger on him at 17, it would make some sense. And it would be exciting as well.
Yeah, I mean, they don't have that guy. I mean, that Lou Williams microwave type guy that could just come in off the bench and get a bucket. So that's definitely a need of theirs. They needed that for a long time. I mean, he's a bit undersized in terms of his height, but yeah. I mean, he built well, high-level athlete. I mean, plays hard, does have a motor that never quits. And again, man, a guy can just score from all three levels, can get to the basket. Like you said, man, gets a floater game, which is fits in with this team. We know this team loves the floater. He has that in his game, and he really can creative on his layups, man. He can get to the basket and score in a variety of ways. Gets to the free throw line, like you said, knocks down free throws at about a 90% clip. So I like him a lot. I mean, especially if they get into a situation where they decide to trade down. You look at those two picks with Houston, 23-24, could be option there. Mm-hmm. I think the Knicks have a couple picks there in the bottom of the first round. So if they decide to do something like that, he'd definitely be a guy, along with Josh Christopher out of Arizona State. I know they worked him out the other day. Yep. Godson of Grizzlies executive, Tayshaun Prince, so kind of a connection there. Also seems to be have a good connection with Josh, so that's kind of something to look at. I had no word on how that workout went, but they did bring him in. So those are two guys that I would look at there that I think kind of upside pick. So I agree with you there. Again, I think there's so many guys in this draft that I like in that range. So I wouldn't mind them maybe moving down and picking up a couple picks there. I think that would be really good to pick up two of these guys. To have two bullets in that area of draft would be fantastic. But Grizz have a pick at 51, but I have a feeling they could do some maneuvering there in the second round. Who are some guys projected in the second round that you like?
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, you look at Kleiman's history. He's not afraid to make a move and go get his guy, right? Like he's done it with Desmond Bain, Xavier Tillman, even Brandon Clark.
Brandon Clark, yeah.
A couple spots, yep. So he'll do it, right? So these guys are kind of projected all throughout the second round. I think I've got maybe six names here. Two guys that are not totally similar, but a little bit similar, that will likely be there in that 51 range. One is Sam Hauser.
The Virginia.
Big Virginia jump shooter. Yep. I think the guy can really stroke it and has played a lot of high level college basketball and knows how to play the game. I could see them, like, you know, they brought in Killian Tilly. They brought in Jonte Porter. He's kind of that mold, and of that mold as well is also Matthew Hurt from Duke. He's not the best athlete.
He's on my list.
Okay, good. Yeah. I think the guy can play. I just like Matthew Hurt. If you told me that he had an 8-year NBA career, it would not surprise me one bit. Let's see. And then three guys that are probably likely to be, more like 30 to 45, certainly top half of the first round. First is Nashawn Highland, Bones Highland.
Yeah, BC. Love it.
Awesome. Just so great. Like, an insane sniper. Just what a shooter. The guys, like, he can, the same thing, a little Cam Thomas-ish, and where he can do it off the dribble, he can do a catch and shoot, super quick release, nice long body, like, maybe has some defense to him, too. He's fun. He may end up going in the first round, but I know a lot of mocks have him slipping into the second, so if he ends up there, I that's a guy I'd be making calls about. Herb Jones, which is kind of on the opposite end of the spectrum, just a versatile defensive weapon. He was probably the best player on a great Alabama team last year, won SEC Player of the Year, tremendous, tremendous defender, like total Swiss Army knife, can kind of defend every position. Offensively, he's going to have to make some strides to be an impactful offensive player in the NBA, but I like the length, I like the size, I like the athleticism, and I just love the defensive toolkit that he brings. And then my last guy, this guy was a disappointment, and he's falling into the second round, but B.J. Boston, about a guy who has the body, the profile, the, you know, everything that you're looking for in a wing, except he was just not good on a Kentucky team that was disastrous last year. So here's the thing, Isaac, I'm done being fooled by Kentucky guys being not so good at Kentucky and then being awesome in the NBA. So I'm putting him on the list. And if he's good in the NBA, it wouldn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, man, he's a guy who was projected, you look a year ago, projected to be top 10 pick. And now he's top of the second round. I mean, the shot just wasn't falling at Kentucky. But like you said, man, body wise, and you just look at him. Prototypical NBA wing that you want. So if he can get that shot to fall, I think he'll definitely outperform second round pick. But we had some of the same guys that Matthew Hurd is a guy I really like out of Duke, covering Memphis. He was a Memphis target for a while, so I watched him a lot in Minnesota coming out of high school. Just high release on his shot. Doesn't take a lot of room to get it off, man. Just hit these just weird fadeaway shots. Better in the paint than you'd expect. Not really strong, but really crafty around the basket. Can really, really find ways to score in there. So I like Matthew Hurd a lot. He's on my list. Bones Highland, like you said, is another guy who thick shot almost 8 threes a game at a really high clip at VCU. So I really like him a lot. Joe Wieskamp out of Iowa is a guy who got a lot of buzz at the combine. He's rising up. I think NBA Draft.net even has him in the first round now. Was projected at the bottom of the first round. 42-inch vertical, can really shoot the basketball. About 6'7", 6'8". So I like guys that can shoot that with size. And the Grizzlies need that. And I think he's a guy come in and been more athletic. He even said he surprised himself. Said he didn't know he could jump that high. But one of the highest at the combine. Josh Primo is a guard, really young, 18 years old, out of Alabama. Who I think, I mean, you look at that, I mean, 6'5", 6'9" wingspan with that length and can guard the 1, 2, and 3. Really young. I mean, he's going to be a guy that you got to stash down in the G League for a while. But if he pans out, I mean, I think his potential is off the chart. So those are some of the guys I like down there in the second round. But it's going to be an intriguing draft, man. I'm excited about it. I think the Grizzlies are in a unique position. We're a playoff team this year, so they're not in the top of the lottery, but still could go either way, could – again, stick with their MO and bring in these older guys like a Chris Duarte. He's at the top of my list. He's number one before them. So if they could go that direction, or they could go direction and bring in, like I said, take a upside swing. So that's going to be fun to see. I think they're in a great spot there in 17. So excited about it. Still a few weeks out, but man, we've been talking a lot of draft here. Hoop ball, man. We're going to continue talking draft, and I love this time of year, man. One of my favorite times to break down and watch these prospects, especially guys that you haven't really watched a lot to kind of learn about them. I have fun doing that. But again, man, thanks for taking a little time to join us, man. Before you get out of here, let people know where they can find you.
Yeah. First of all, I really appreciate you having me on.
But yeah, man, it's been too long.
It has been. Yeah. Please give me a follow. Chip Williams Jr., Chip Williams Jr. on Twitter. Maybe not quite as active as I once was, but I'll sneak attack some takes, so you never know when I'm coming off.
yeah, man, definitely go over there and give him a follow at Chip Williams Jr. on Twitter, man. Man knows his stuff when it comes to the draft for sure, man. I mean, you can give us a follow at Hoopball Grizz. Make sure you go over there, give us a follow. You can give me a follow on Twitter at Isaac_Rivals, ISAAC_Rivals. Me and David will be back on Wednesday at Mavs Blog. Join us, draft guy. Host of the NBA Locked On Draft Podcast. He's going to join us on Wednesday, so be on the lookout for that. Until next time, we go.
This has been a Hoop Ball presentation.